You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business.
Leading to this is Eric Guy, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Andrew J. Hacker, once again, the founder and CEO of Thought, an artificial intelligence blockchain that fundamentally changes traditional applications by embedding artificial intelligence into every bit of data, making it agile, actionable, and inherently secure. It might also just save humanity from Skynet. Mr. Hacker, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here as well.
You bet. So what are the challenges with the massive amounts of data that are produced today, and where's this data coming from?
Yeah, so by 2025, IDC Corporation predicts that there will be over 165 zettabytes of data produced by the year 2025. Now, a zettabyte is a very large number. It's actually about a trillion gigabytes. So the amount of data that the world is producing on a yearly basis is going up exponentially. And this is coming from all the devices that we have. I mean, obviously, everyone's got a phone. You know, everybody's got smart TVs. Smart TVs produce data. Now we've got Alexas and Google Homes that actually listen to, you know, our speech and actually transmit that data into the cloud. We've also got automobiles and other vehicles that are, you know, constantly generating more and more data. Once these cars even, you know, start driving themselves, we expect they'll be producing even more data as well. So, you know, all this data becomes a large problem to manage because, you know, literally it does clog up our systems. You know, we have databases and storage places that all this data needs to go. So, you know, having so much data actually becomes a big issue down the road.
Now, what is blockchain and why is it a significant technology? We hear so much about blockchain today. Get into some of those details.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm sure everybody's familiar with Bitcoin. Bitcoin's been around since 2009. The important thing about Bitcoin is it actually rides on top of a very important technology called blockchain. And what blockchain is essentially a distributed database. So all of the computers that run on the blockchain network actually have the same copy of that particular distributed database. And the reason that this is important is it allows for a system where information can be shared and also agreed upon, right? And the fact that the whole network can agree upon certain pieces of information is what makes blockchain so important. So, I mean, blockchain can literally really hold anything. I mean, granted, it's got some capacity problems, you know, in its current incarnations, and there are a lot of organizations and companies that are, you know, working to improve the performance of blockchain networks. But basically, what we can do is we can save all kinds of information, such as, you know, a ledger basically of, you know, could be a financial record of some value transferred from one place to another. It could actually be something like a data model where we can actually say, hey, you know, we're going to use data in this way. You know, do you, the whole network, agree that this is a good thing that we would, you know, organize the data this way? Plus, that transaction would also be sort of set and recorded in history. So, you know, if anything down the road were to happen, someone could go back and look at the original, you know, agreement and say, hey, here's how we said we were going to do this kind of thing. So there are a lot of applications for blockchain. The technology is really getting a lot of investment from a lot of big names, a lot of big companies, IBM and some big consortiums. Amazon just announced today that and Starbucks as well, that they're going to be looking at blockchain to, you know, to handle certain transactions that company relies upon. So it's getting very important. It's getting a lot of interest and, you know, certainly something we're very excited to be working with.
Yeah, quite interesting. Now, how can data that is smart and artificial intelligence help solve data management problems?
Well, one of the things we have today is the general paradigm of data and applications being separate. Generally speaking, we have, you know, big data stores, and we also have, you know, really these days very big applications that work with this data. Generally speaking, they don't, you know, they're in very separate big pools, and this leads to some very inefficient processes. So if we think of, you know, cloud applications and, you know, huge business processes and enterprise applications, for any piece of, you know, valuable information to travel through a large application set like that takes a very long time, a lot of processing, a lot of software development to actually even build these applications. So one of the things that we're working with, that we've been working with for quite some time now, is this whole concept of hybrid data and applications, where we're, you know, basically taking every piece of data and chopping up applications and putting little pieces of applications in each piece of data. What this allows the data to do is to act a lot more quickly in the environment to get information to, you know, the businesses and corporations and consumers that need and require that information a lot faster. So it cuts down a lot of the overhead that happens with today's traditional application and enterprise applications.
Great information here today. We're joined by Mr. Andrew J. Hacker, founder and CEO of Thought, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EP and the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tell us, what are today's challenges with artificial intelligence?
Yeah, so artificial intelligence has actually come a long way. I mean, it's been around for decades, and, you know, some of the early pioneers of what artificial intelligence was and the whole idea of having computers, you know, sort of think like humans, started back in the early 50s. It's been through several cycles, and, you know, it hasn't always taken hold. It's been a big promise, but, you know, either, you know, the computational power required to do these complex operations wasn't there, or, you know, the rest of the digital world wasn't quite ready for it. But what we've been seeing in the last 3 to 5 years is that artificial intelligence has actually really taken off. And, you know, we can see artificial applications in, you know, pretty much everything we do today. You know, whether it's Alexa and, you know, voice recognition and being able to actually understand, you know, in a very efficient way what we say and respond to that. I mean, these are some really big examples of artificial intelligence. And yet, even with all of this progress with AI, there are still some major problems just, you know, with how artificial intelligence operates in general. One of these big problems is data training. It takes a lot of data to get any artificial intelligence to, quote unquote, learn certain things. So if you think about it, even just to get an application like a Google search to understand what a cat is, you know, data scientists have to feed, you know, thousands and millions of pictures of cats into this artificial intelligence application for it to understand what it's looking at. So this data training problem is very expensive, costs, you know, a lot of data must be used. It's very expensive to do and takes a long time. The second big problem is what's known as the black box problem. And that's actually one of the scarier ones. And that is that, you know, a lot of these artificial intelligence applications are built in such a way that they sort of self-assemble and they make, you know, connections within the application on their own, and they process data and then they kind of spit out this answer. And in a lot of cases, the developers that create these artificial intelligence applications, they don't even understand when a certain answer comes out how that AI program arrived at that answer, right? It's very difficult to trace because if you kind of can't really see inside the application to understand the inner workings, right? And the third big one is actually transparency. I mean, if you think about all of the companies that have very powerful artificial intelligence algorithms, they generally don't share at all what kind of algorithms they're using to process all, you know, in some cases your data, and even more so what they're doing with the results that come out of it. So, you know, one of the big fears is that, you know, large companies can tweak their AI engines to, you know, give certain results that, you know, may or may not necessarily be in our best interest as consumers, right? So that transparency is very important. And these are, you know, the basic, you know, some of the three big problems that we see today.
Tell us, what are hybrid data algorithms and how can they help solve some of today's AI problems as well?
Sure. So this whole idea of merging applications and data, sort of what we call a hybrid data algorithm, is basically, you know, any piece of data. It could be a photo, it could be, you know, a temperature reading that comes off of a temperature sensor, you know, it could be a, you know, a directional control that a, you know, vehicle makes. All of this data, you know, on its own really doesn't do much. But if we combine it with even just a little bit of intelligence, a little bit of conditional logic, you know, we can actually create something that's actually quite quite agile and can actually act on its own. So, you know, this hybrid data and application, what we actually term a nuance, is it's almost sort of like a digital neuron. And I'll give you an example just to get an idea of what this looks like. Everybody knows that, you know, bees and ants are very efficient at, you know, finding food, right? So, you know, bees can find flowers and ants can, you know, certainly find any food that's sitting in your house anywhere. And really, you know, any one particular ant is really not, you know, not a genius, right? But if you collectively put together all different ants that communicate to each other, leave, you know, information for, you know, each of the other ants or each of the other bees, they can actually do some quite amazing things. One of the things that a bee can do with a colony is actually solve something that's known as a traveling salesman problem. And that's an extremely difficult and highly computationally intensive problem for, you know, even the smartest computer today to solve. But bees can do it very efficiently on their own, because the bees actually can really talk to each other. They can go out and they can say, well, I saw this flower over here, and communicate that back. And then the whole hive effectively knows the shortest route to get to where that food source is. So you can think of our hybrid nuances just like autonomous bees or ants, and that they all work together to, you know, achieve some goal.
Certainly informational, and per your expertise, we can't thank you enough for your time as well and the information shared. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, or one last final word or tip?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the biggest message here is that, you know, technology is really increasing at a rapid pace. And it's really important that, you know, collectively we all understand what the implications are and the impacts of all these technologies, because they are very powerful technologies. They really affect everything we do, even, you know, things in the physical world. Thermostats, you know, turn your heat up and down, and, you know, if something like that malfunctions, it could, you know, literally set your house on fire. So, you know, really understanding how all these technologies work, you know, what their impacts are, is very important. And it's really, you know, important for us to get ahead of them and understand them before our ability to understand them, you know, takes off away from us. So, and I think there are a lot of people doing that. So, you know, happy to work with anyone who's involved in this kind of thing.
And of course, the question is, we don't want to let you get out of here without knowing where we can get more information on Thought.
Sure. You can visit our website at thought.live, thought.live. And we've got a lot of information up there for you to take a look at.
Well, again, Mr. Hacker, it's been our pleasure to have had you, and look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. You too.
We've been speaking with Mr. Andrew J. Hacker, the founder and CEO of Thought, an artificial intelligence blockchain that fundamentally changes traditional applications by embedding artificial intelligence into every bit of data, making it agile, actionable, and inherently secure. And for more information, visit thought.live. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.